and welcome into another edition of the JMAC podcast, this time Informed Utah, as we talk about a very important issue, redistricting in the state of Utah. The census has been completed. The numbers are about to be delivered to the state of Utah. And we are looking nationally at concerns about gerrymandering, about redistricting, about voter suppression. And so there's going to be some headlines and there's going to be some incredible scrutiny. I wanted to let you know I plan on following this process in the state of Utah. And to start out, we're going to talk with the co-chair of the redistricting committee. This is Representative Paul Ray. I spent some time with him. And I have to be honest with you, it really kind of put my mind at ease. You've got a situation where you've got this independent commission now, and then you've got the duty, the constitutional duty of the Utah State Legislature. And is there going to be a conflict between the two? He set my mind at ease a little bit, and they're also going to spend a lot of time working with you, the public, and you have an opportunity to draw your own maps if you want to. So all of that coming up in this interview. And one other thing that stood out to me, apparently it's not gerrymandering. Apparently it's gerrymandering. It's like the difference between GIF and GIF. Which one is it? We'll find out in this interview as well. All right, Representative, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Jay, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm real excited. You know, I think that voters have been very interested in the redistricting process, obviously because of a recent vote. And I think we're all curious about the process. Now, you have the distinction. You're the co-chair of the redistricting committee. You guys are getting ready to fire up. You don't have the data yet, right? That comes in on the 16th. Is that when you'll see the final data?
You know, they actually moved the date. So we get the raw data actually tomorrow, but we won't have it refined, ready to use until Monday. So we had a meeting scheduled for the 18th. We've moved that to the 16th. So next Monday, we will have our first redistricting committee meeting that actually has all the data.
Okay. But I noticed, I saw some stories. You have some ideas about what this is going to look like, right? You're able to kind of make some predictions?
Yeah, we've got population numbers. And they're not the official census, but they're from the Kim Gardner Institute. So we think they're pretty accurate.
All right. And what do those tell you? Are we going to add seats? Are we going to lose seats? What do they tell you?
Well, you know, obviously, congressionally, we stay the same. We were about 136,000 people shy of adding a fifth congressional seat. But there were like 20 states ahead of us. You know, state missed it by like 12 people.
Wow.
Yeah. So what we do know is the fact that we are the fastest growing state in the nation. And Vineyard, Utah, is the fastest growing city in the nation.
Hmm.
So we have been able to ascertain that. So what we will look at, you know, population base wise has shifted south. You know, it looks, and we'll get this, you know, when we get the actual census block data where they break it down to neighborhood blocks, you know, on Monday, we'll be able to have a better idea. But it looks like that northern part of Utah County, so Vineyard, Saratoga Springs, and that area, it looks like they may pick up a whole brand new House seat there.
Mm.
And then that area plus your Harriman, Riverton, Draper area, that southwest Salt Lake County, it looks like they'll be sharing a seat there. So you could see, you know, possibly two new seats out in that area there. And when I say new seats, we have to take them from somewhere else.
Right.
You know, because our number is not going to change. We'll be at 75 House members. And I'm talking House seats there. Senate's a little bit different. And how it's working is as the House chair, we're only doing the House seats. The Senate will do the Senate seats. And then we both would do congressional and school board. So that's kind of how it's set up between the two different bodies. So so what that means is you're probably going to see a loss of two seats, probably from the northern Salt Lake County area. So maybe Salt Lake City proper. And again, we won't really know that until we get the census block data, but that's what the preliminary population numbers are showing us. And then the other hard part is going to be Washington County. They've grown so much down there that they're due for a half a seat, which in this case will be about 22,000 people. And so it's going to possibly put a rural Utah seat in jeopardy you have Grand County who has 2,000 people.
Right.
You know, we're trying to find 22,000 people in that area. So I think you'll see quite a shakeup in southern you know, in Eastern Utah, as we try to draw numbers to get that additional half seat in Washington County.
Wow, it's really interesting. So you get the data on Monday, and then what is your timeline? When do you guys have to be done with your process?
So our timeline is we have a special session scheduled for, I believe, November 15th through the 22nd is when we will finish up with the actual drawing the maps and voting on them. So we have between basically August 16th and the end of October to do our work, to go meet in the communities, which we'll be traveling. I believe we have about 17 meetings across the state that we'll be doing in that period of time to take public input, to talk maps, you know, and just to kind of see what the communities are looking at and what their needs are.
That's fantastic. And then you hand it to the governor and he can veto or accept it, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm curious about this process. It seems daunting to me, to be honest with you, to look at a map and say, we're going to figure this stuff out. But I love that you're going to be seeking public input. So people are going to have a say in these districts.
You know, more so than I think people realize, because one of the tools that we purchased that will be available on our redistricting website, the public can draw their own maps and submit them to us.
Oh, really?
And my hope is we use maps from the public. I would completely, be supportive of. And last time we did this, one of the state school board map was actually drawn by a member of the public back in 2011. So the public will have that opportunity to draw their own maps. Now, when you draw a map, you have to draw more than just your district. You know, if you draw a house map, you have to draw all 75 house seats.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to draw one district, but when you have to put them all together at the end of the day, that's the hard part. But people can either do their own congressional maps, they can do their own house maps, their own Senate maps, or their own school board maps. And then as a committee, we'll review every map that's sent to us. And, you know, the ones that kind of meet the guidelines and you know, could work, then we'll bring those forward, you know, for the legislature to take a look at.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what other factors do you include? I mean, is it just geography? Are there demographics? What are the types of considerations that you have to think about?
Well, the main ones that we're going to consider, the problem is if you put a huge checklist of items that you're going to consider, you open yourself up for a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Somebody can say, hey, they listed these 10 things, but they only really looked at two things. So we're looking, number one, we want them to be as compact as possible. So don't take a house district, state house district, and stretch it from Weber County down to Salt Lake County. That's not going to work. So compact, contiguous, so it has to be touching. You can't do a district here and then a little portion on the other side of the map and say that's part of this district. They have to be contiguous. And then we want them equal in size. You know, the average house district is going to be just shy of 44,000 people per district. Your Senate districts will be up close to 113,000. You know, we're in the 800-something thousand for a congressional district. So we're taking the population base of 3.2 million and just dividing that by four for Congress, you know, by 75, by 29, and by 15. And we want to keep those. In the congressional side, we really want to be plus or minus one person. So we want them to be almost exact. Wow. In the House and Senate, we're given a plus or minus of 5%. And that's per the Supreme Court has already said we can go as high as 10%. But we felt that was pushing a little. We felt more comfortable. And we may not even go 2%. Yeah, but we do have that guideline that we can, in the rural districts, for instance, you know, maybe we go a little bit, you know, smaller on population numbers there. So you keep the rural districts intact because of geographies. You have big mountain ranges and so forth that you don't want to cross over. You know, we have, for instance, Phil Lyman. He, you know, if you look on the map, he's an hour from St. George. Reality, he's 6 hours from St. George because he has to drive down through Arizona and come back up. So it wouldn't make any sense to push him over into Washington County because he honestly wouldn't be able to, you know, represent that area. So we have that ability to vary a little bit based on that. So those are really our guidelines. You know, people talk communities of interest, but that's where you really open yourself up, because how do you define a community of interest? There's 10,000 definitions to that.
Right.
So you might say we're going to do these communities of interest, but then you get sued from a different community of interest because you forgot about them or you neglected them. So that just opens you up for a lawsuit. So we think it's a lot easier just to look at numbers, to look at compactness, you know, and contiguous on your areas.
Got it. All right. I'm going to throw a word at you. I just want your first blush reaction to the word, because I know you hear it and I know you're going to hear it, gerrymandering. Go.
We don't plan to gerrymander. And honestly, it's hard to gerrymander when you're in an area like Utah. I mean, it's predominantly Republican. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was going to gerrymander in Utah, then I would make a congressional district that was all Democrats. That would be gerrymandering in Utah. Mm-hmm. You know, quite honestly, you know, we're not, you know, we have no intent to gerrymander. We are identifying where incumbents live. That's one of the things that we're putting on the maps for the public. And I know we've gotten a lot of, we've had a few, people say, well, that's gerrymandering because you're going to know where the incumbents live. Well, we already know where they live. That's us.
Right.
And I thought it'd be better for the public to know where we live too. So when we do draw maps, they can see where we live. And then they can judge, are we cutting a district specifically for that individual? Mm. I just thought it was better transparency. Because I can guarantee, as a legislature, when you draw maps, and the Supreme Court has already said that it's okay to protect incumbent. Incumbent protection is allowed via the Supreme Court. That's just a ruling they had last summer. But, in our intents not to protect incumbents per se, we're obviously not going out of our way to cut somebody out of their district. But there are going to be incumbents that get put in other incumbents' territory. That's just how it's going to be, but we wanted the public to see where we lived. So when we did those maps, they knew how we were drawing lines. And so, it was nothing to protect us. I know the independent commission has opted not to do that, which is great. But I just thought, when I draw my map, I know where I live. I know where my colleagues live. Public probably ought to know that too.
How does the independent commission, how does that play into all of this?
Well, they're an advisory role. So their job is they're supposed to draw three maps of each of the, mapping areas we have. So three congressional maps, three House, three Senate, and three school board, and submit those to us. And then our job is to review those maps. If there's any that works, we can accept them, I'd like to do that. I don't want them to do all the work for nothing. I don't want them to fail by any means. I hope they're successful. Our job as a legislature is to work with them in the role that they're put in. And so if they can get some maps over to us, that work under our guidelines, I definitely want to look at it. And if they have a map that's, identical to ours, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they come up with in the drawing and how they start. Do you throw all 75 House districts out and start fresh, or do you overlay those and make adjustments? And what we'll do is we'll overlay those, because that's one thing at the Supreme Court. If you start from scratch and do it, you could be open for a lawsuit. Mm. But if you overlay your current maps and make adjustments on your current maps, that seems to flow better to keep you out of a lawsuit.
Yeah, this is one of those things. I hope it doesn't happen, but I kind of see a situation where if the independent commission makes some recommendations and those recommendations are public, and then the legislature goes a different route, it could be perceived as the will of the people is not being heard because they voted for this independent commission. How do you combat that? Are you having conversations about that? Are you preparing for that?
Well, you have to understand too, the vote was pretty much 50-50. And even as a legislature, we didn't oppose the vote. If we'd opposed it, it would have probably failed, to be honest with you. If we'd have put some cash into it and went out and did some opposition on it. Mm-hmm. But it passed by 0.3%. So the public's kind of right in the middle. My job is to deliver good maps. It's from them, it's from us, or it's from the public, I really don't care. But I want to deliver a good map. And so I think at the end of the day, that's what the public's going to look at. They're going to look at the maps and say, okay, these maps make sense. Now, if I go in and completely cut up a district and make it completely unfair, then the public obviously has a valid concern and complaint. This is kind of an experiment for Utah. This is the first time we've had two different, a commission and a committee working at the same time. And so, I've reached out, my Senate sponsor or Senate chair, Scott Sandel, we've been in, we work close with Rex Facer, who's chairing the commission. And there's definitely no animosity between us. We're trying just to kind of keep things on a parallel as we go through. And like I say, I'd love to use their maps. We may or we may not. We may not even use our own maps. We may use maps from the public, which I would actually prefer. I would love to do four maps completely from the public.
That would be amazing. I think you're on the right track. I think you're exactly right. The more of this you do in public, the more meetings that you have, the more transparency there is, the better off. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with you. And I hope that we can check back in with you, because there are going to be people at the end of the day who say, oh, yeah, this is gerrymandered. This isn't fair. This isn't supporting my party or my group. And if you can reflect back and say, look, we did everything in our power to invite you into the process and we were transparent about it, that's going to go a long way.
And that's the whole key. That's why we're meeting. I mean, all sections of the state, there are weeks in September and October that we leave as a committee and we don't come back for a week. You know, we're on the road two meetings a day, different parts of the state, just trying to take in as much public input as we can. And all those meetings will be virtual also. So okay, if you can't make it to the meeting, you can certainly watch us. Everything that we do as far as map drawing is available to the public. If we draw a map, it gets posted. And so that, you know, the public can see everything that we're working on and, watch every single one of our meetings. And the same with the commission. You know, the commission is doing the same thing. They're very public with all they're doing too. They'll be meeting in different parts of the state also. And all of theirs will also, I think they've got a YouTube channel that they're posting theirs on. So, you know, it'll be available both directions. And, you know, really to me, the key is transparency. I'm trying very hard to be more transparent than we ever had. Because I think when the public sees what we're doing, it can be boring at the same time. They might look at that and think, holy cow, yeah, I don't want to draw a map, but I certainly want to see what their end results are. You have other guys that will say, I can't wait to draw a map. I'm going to draw three maps and submit them. And I hope we have a lot of people like that because, like I say, it's, you know, the more we can involve the public, the better the whole process is.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And unless we're going to hear that word, I won't say it again, the word that shall not be named, right?
And well, you know, it actually is pronounced gerrymandering.
You say gerrymandering?
That's the actual, we were educated on this. National Conference of State Legislators, which is basically most of your legislators, Democrat and Republican, belong to this. It's a national. And when they did their classes, it was named after a guy named Gary who drew some maps, and it looked like a salamander.
Mm-hmm.
So the word gerrymandering was actually used. So they chastised us for saying gerrymandering, and they made us say gerrymandering. So, you know, and the fact is we may very well be sued. Former President Obama, former Attorney General Eric Holder have put a group together with a couple hundred million dollars, and their intent is to sue every Republican state when they map.
Mm.
So we could be sued regardless just because that's their goal, is to sue everybody. You know, Utah's never been sued before. And so that's why I think if we're as transparent as possible, we follow the guidelines that have already been laid out by the Supreme Court. And by the way, these can no longer be, these cannot be federal lawsuits anymore. The Supreme Court ruled that the feds have no say in redistricting. So any lawsuits that are filed will have to go to the state courts and not the federal courts.
Yeah, that's because the Constitution says states get to decide, right? And that's
exactly
the process. And
that little piece of paper that a lot of the guys in D.C. never read anymore.
Yeah, that pesky little constitution. And the reason we want it that way is so that the average Utah citizen can feel like they're contributing in the process. And it feels like you are going out of your way to make sure that that process is available to them.
You know, that's our goal. And I want to touch on one thing, too, is we had the referendum. As a legislature, we actually changed part of that. But again, it was the Utah State Constitution that only the legislature constitutionally has the ability to redistrict. So that's why we had to make the changes that we did. And we worked with the group that filed that referendum to make sure they were comfortable. And they were very comfortable. It was a great agreement that we had between the two of us on how to go forward. So it wasn't like we tried to kick it out or go underhand on it. We just said, Constitution says this. Let's make sure we're following the Constitution. And so I think we had a really good resolution on it with what we ended up with.
Well, good. I will tell you, after talking to you, I feel better about the process. I've been a little bit worried if there was this kind of impending conflict. So I love your attitude. I love your approach. And hopefully people will watch this and participate. Where will this information be posted as far as scheduling and all of that?
It's redistrict.utah.gov.
Okay.
Or if you just go to the state website, there will be a link on the state website also. And that will have the tool's called ESRI. So you can go in and it'll say draw your own map, and you'll set up your little account, and then you can draw as many maps as you want and submit them. And feel free to touch back. You know, I'm happy even when we're out and we're doing some of our roadshow out there. I'd love to touch base with you and just let you know how it's going.
Fantastic. Anything else you would like the public to know about this process?
You know, the whole thing is if you have a concern, reach out to us. You know, there's through that website, you can certainly reach out to the chairs, the committee members. What we want to make sure is that you feel like you've been involved in the process and that we've heard your voice. So don't hesitate to come to one of our meetings, you know, shoot us an email, a phone call. My cell phone is published. So if you Google my name, you find my cell phone. That's the only number that I use legislatively. So, you know, please just reach out, let us know your concerns, let us know your opinions. You know, I hate it during the legislative session, we'll get down to somebody will call and yell at me on how I voted. And I'll say, well, did you call me? No. Well, I'm sorry then. You know, not much I could do. So let's
be
not
proactive.
Let redistricting. Exactly. Reach out to us. Yeah. Tell me if you have a concern about the congressional district or your representative either being cut in or you feel like, you know, that those are the things that we have to know before November. So as we go through September, October, that's your opportunity. Either come to one of these meetings or watch them online and then communicate with us via in person, electronically, however you want to.
Great. Well, I love it. I'm excited to see what you guys come up with.
Hey, thank you.
Absolutely. Representative, thank you for your time and thank you for your commitment to this project.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jay, for helping keep the public up to date on it.
Once again, I want to thank Representative Paul Ray for joining me today. I really hope that this gave you a little bit of peace and comfort when it comes to the redistricting process. And I just have to tell you how encouraged I am personally with the attitude and the goal of Representative Paul Ray and this commission and their goal to take this to the people. And as we talked about in this interview, how important it is that this remain a state right so that we, the people of the great state of Utah, can participate in the process. They're going to be going out of their way to have public meetings and take online submissions. So if you are interested in this process and if you're going to be concerned about the outcome, then I encourage you to be involved from day one in the process. And we will keep you up to date. In fact, the good representative offered me the opportunity to go up and participate in some of these meetings and the map drawing and then perhaps do some live podcasting along the way to take your questions. I'm going to take advantage of his offer, and I appreciate that. So hopefully this was great information for you. It was very informational for me, and I want to thank you for joining us again today on another edition of Informed Utah, part of the JMAC podcast.